Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
51,000 plus on their feet. Nobody's left to beat the traffic tonight, I guarantee you. Mark gets the sign. The wind and the pitch. Here it is. Swung. Fly ball deep left center. Grissom on the run. Yes! The Atlanta Braves have given you a championship. Listen to this crowd. On the field, and the constables restrain them. The Atlanta Braves have brought the first championship to Atlanta.
Oh, okay. So can I say, hey, Lucas, your picks stink. I don't like listening to that at all.
Well, normally there's like a now back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
He says he already played that.
I mean, that cut was so long that I might have glazed over.
You thought you dreamt it.
Well, I was trying to figure out the relevance of that, where...
That was Skip Carey.
I get it, because I've been here on the show the whole time, but if you're just driving around and it's May 21st and he's playing a World Series championship-winning highlight from 1995, feels a little bit out of place.
Well, we were going to explain it.
Right, I get it. But if you're in the car and you sit through 90 seconds of that... Mark Wohlers? I was like, oh, yeah.
Wasn't that the only Bobby Cox World Series when they should have won probably like five?
Yep.
That pitching staff. Hey, kids, starters used to go more than four innings. It was crazy. They had all these starters with the Braves. And you know this, too. On their off days, they'd all golf together. They were all amazing golfers. Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, John Smoltz, who then later became the closer, Steve Avery. Anyway, they were amazing every year, and they won the division every year, but they only broke through and won the World Series one time.
One time.
And their announcer, Skip Carey, on the call right there.
Lost World Series.
Yep.
Lost NLCS. They missed the playoffs during a strike year. Won the World Series. Lost the World Series. Lost NLCS. Lost NLCS. Lost the World Series.
Listen to that.
Eight of nine years. They went to the World Series five times. They won one.
And the championship series.
The other three.
And then a strike year.
Right.
Yeah.
8 of 9. They were in the last four teams, all eight. They went to the World Series five times. They won one ring.
One time.
And you just heard it. Mark Wohlers got the final out. Totally. Yeah,
exactly.
Anyway.
Right. Anyway, yeah. We actually have some Giants news to pass along. And it is that Justin Verlander is going on the injured list. And the report states, and this is from John Shea and others who cover the Giants on social media, the report states he's going to miss two starts. But I'm wondering if the way that they're phrasing that, he's going to miss two starts. In other words, the IL stint means he's forced to miss at least two starts. I don't know yet if this means he's only expected to miss two starts. You remember that he publicly spoke about mechanics and velocity being down and that whatever he was dealing with physically flared up in his last game. He kind of battled through it, but pitched just kind of so-so. And then now he's going on the injured list. I'll just say that there are some whispers out there that I had heard about prior to today that this could be maybe something that lasts a little bit longer than two starts.
And what is the injury? Are they saying what it is? Like, is it a neck, a shoulder, an elbow, my neck and my back?
Well, I mean, maybe it's just being 43 years old. I don't know that they got too much into the specifics of it in his last start. They just kind of, it was like, oh, whatever he's dealing with. And then literally the reports that you see come out from all the Giants beat people right now, Justin Verlander is going on the injured list. End of tweet.
Okay.
So that's the other part of this that for me is eyebrow raising. This is not like, oh, Justin Verlander's got arm soreness or shoulder soreness or you know, whatever. It's just Justin Verlander. There was mystery around this last time he pitched, and now all of a sudden there's Justin's going away for a little while, and nobody will tell us why. And so, you know, I don't want to put something, I've heard some things, I don't want to put it out publicly because I don't know.
Right.
And I will not do that with regard to somebody's body and health, but I will tell you I've heard some whispers that this might last a little bit longer than 10 days.
Just for some honesty, they did list pec discomfort.
Pec discomfort. Okay. Pec discomfort.
Okay. Well.
Discomfort.
Yes.
This is more than discomfort.
Right.
You ain't going on the injured list for discomfort. Well, but anyway, go ahead.
I'll just say this. I mean, he's pitched 10 times this year, and he's thrown 52 innings. So that's 5 innings per start, roughly, a little bit more. And last year he made 17 starts, and he pitched about 5 innings per start, a little bit more. The year before that, he pitched 11 times, and he went about 6 innings per start. He's 42 years old, and if you look at pitchers who are over 40, it's pretty rare, especially when you get to a power pitcher, which is what he has been. It's rare to see a guy like that last throughout the whole year. And you and I talked about this when they signed him. Like, what's the expectation for Verlander? For me, it was to maybe make 20 starts and, you know, maybe he gets you 100 innings and, you know, can he get you 6 or 7 wins? Well, he's 0-3 and the ERA is 4.33. And it feels to me like this is not that unexpected when you have a pitcher at this age who's coming off Tommy John just a few years ago. And he's 42. Yeah. Like, what are you really expecting
he's 42.
From him?
No, well, I mean, it's funny that we have this conversation off of the way we've talked about the Warriors all year. Sort of at least thinking to ourselves, well, I mean, can you really expect this to all stay healthy, especially through a playoff run? And then in the end, it didn't. It didn't. And that's a 37-year-old. And I know basketball is different than baseball, but yeah. Yeah, like when you sign somebody who's 42 years old, it's literally the first thought that goes through your mind. Like, that guy got anything left? Is he really going to do this, that, or the other? Now, look, the Giants, I think, would come back and say this was a worthwhile signing because he's going to mean more to this pitching staff than the actual 10, 20, 30 starts that he would make, because he can kind of be an elder statesman, and the hope is that as this season unfolds, some of the younger guys are able to step into their role. Now, Hayden Birdsong moved into the rotation last night. They won the game 3-2. He pitched well. If you're a Giants fan, you're also aware of who got called up to the bullpen a couple of weeks ago. His name is Kyle Harrison, and he's no longer throwing 93. He's now throwing 97. And you damn well better believe the Giants are activated to have that guy get back into the starting rotation. And he may well be ready to do that. I would think that that's probably what the next announcement will be. Now that Verlander's missing these next two starts, does Kyle take over there? There's also Carson Wisenhunt, your favorite guy. Mm. He's got a sparkly changeup, and yep, he's down in the minors right now, and he has pieced about 6, 7, 8 really good starts in a row, and he's probably only a step away. So the good news is that the Giants, I think their hope this year was sort of, and I know, I don't want to say this two timelines. Here's kind of what the Giants' hope this year was to, yes, contend like they are.
Yep.
50-game mark, by the way. They got their butts kind of kicked today, 29-21 through your first 50 games.
Yeah, they're doing great.
They're doing great. So you want to contend if you can stay healthy. But it was also a year where they're like, okay, we want some of these young guys to step into their role. And don't forget Landon Roop, who's been up and down, but I think a little bit more up than down. Like, they're not discouraged by what he did. But the fact that they left Birdsong and Harrison out of the rotation at the beginning of the year, their hope was that they would force their way into the rotation. And we may be pretty close to that being reality.
Could be. Although watching Kyle Harrison and last night, notwithstanding where, you know, he ended up giving up a run and he left the game before the run got charged to him. But I like what he's doing in the bullpen. And I do think that his velocity that he's bringing and the fact that he's a lefty gives them a little bit more of a weapon out of the pen. But yeah, if Verlander's going to miss two starts and maybe it winds up being more than just two starts and you need to have somebody step in to that spot, Kyle Harrison could be a good candidate, but I do like what he's bringing out of the bullpen. And what you're talking about with two timelines is, you know, tongue in cheek, but it's also real where,
yeah,
you know, Kyle Harrison is only 23. So do we have to like thrust him into a starting spot right now? Or can you continue to have him do well in the bullpen and help the team win in a spot where you might actually need him more than in the rotation?
Well, that's, I mean, it's an interesting question. I don't think he would be being thrust into the rotation. Let's not forget, for the better part of last year, he was in the rotation. Yep. It's not like this would be brand new to him. And I think he pitched hurt a lot last year, and it messed with his mechanics, and that messed with his velocity, and that messed with his confidence, and it messed with and messed with and messed with. And it got all out of whack. And so they went slow this year because they wanted him to refine those things, and he did. He dominated down in AAA, and the velocity went through the roof, and they were watching. And then they brought him up, and this is just my read. No one has told me this, but bringing him up and putting him in the bullpen was not the long-term plan. That was a way to sort of alleviate the pressure of bringing him back up. Like, next step, go to the bullpen. Let's see if we can find a couple spots for you. Get into a big league game. How's that looking? Okay, he's now had five appearances, 5 1/3 innings. He's given up 2 runs, but he's also giving up 2 hits.
Yep.
That's it. He's pitching very well. And Kyle Harrison's a starter. That man's a starter. And so I don't know what they feel about his readiness for this, but I would think that that's the first place you're going to look with this news that Verlander is going on the injury.
Yeah, as opposed to going back to Jordan Hicks and getting him.
Oh, God,
you know,
yeah. I would.
Yeah.
As a fan, that's what I would like to see.
Sure. I mean, Jordan Hicks, I think that his time as a starter has kind of run its course, where it's kind of the opposite of Kyle Harrison, where you take him back to the bullpen and you let his velocity go back up to where it can be 98, 99, even 100 if Jordan Hicks is only doing one inning or maybe two at the most. And, you know, Kyle Harrison gets up back up there, and you do have a second lefty now in your rotation, which gives teams a different look over the course of a, you know, 3-game series, depending on how you stack it. Because right now, if you have Robbie Ray as your only lefty, that kind of gives teams a little bit of a comfort spot, especially if Robbie Ray's not in that series.
Yeah, it can. It can for teams who struggle against lefties, although nobody struggles against the lefties.
No, I can't think of a team.
Like the Giants do.
Ah, there you go.
So too bad Harrison can't pitch against the Giants. I think he would do great. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Also home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. More on that in a minute. Always live on the free Odyssey.